Hey, so this is the last of our Philippians series. So we've been in Philippians for like 5 Sundays. And we didn't like go verse by verse, right? We just chose some key verses, key passages, and kind of dug into those, which has been cool. I've really enjoyed it. It's been really good. And then next week is the 16th. And so we're kind of doing a bit of a like celebration Sunday is the idea to really kick off all our ministries and things happening. So yeah, it's going to be some different things happening, some baby dedications and all sorts of things. So just a real exciting Sunday. So I encourage you to come along. And then after that, we're moving into a series called Markers of Maturity. And so it's like an 8-week series that'll take us right over Easter. And it's going to look at what are some of the marks that we'd want to see in our lives if we're mature Christians. So what would worship look like if we're a mature Christian? What does prayer look like if we're a mature Christian? So things like that. So really cool series. I'm Dave and I've been looking at it over the last kind of month or so. So really excited to get into that. But we're finishing up with Philippians. And so one of the key things that Dave and I have been talking about when we've gone through this Philippians series is this phrase here, love well, fruit well, right? So love well, fruit well is one of the key things that Paul talks about as we go through Philippians and in heaps of his letters, which is this whole idea that we want a fruit, like we want to do stuff and serve God, but Paul keeps saying that's not the number one focus, right? There's got to be intentionality around that, but the number one focus is to learn to love God, to learn to understand how much God loves me, right? So the way he keeps talking about it is we looked at that verse from Colossians that talks about growing our roots into Christ, right? So Paul keeps saying the number one thing we want to do as Christians is to dig into, to push into, to grow into, to work on my relationship with God. That's the number one thing. Understanding how much he loves me, understanding who I am in Christ, understanding that. And as I do that, I will naturally fruit. I'll naturally serve God. Does it make sense? Are you with me? Yep. Okay, so everyone stand up real quick, bit of audience participation. Go and find 3 or 4 people. It's real simple. 3 or 4 people. And just go and say, you can high five them. You can punch them in the stomach if they're a guy. If they're a lady, no punching. And then no brother punching. That was terrible. Man. Called out in church. Double shame. Sorry, bro. Love you. So go and find 3, 4, 5 people and just high five them. Do whatever. No punching, you guys. And just say, love well, fruit well. Pretty simple, right? Love well, fruit well. So go and find a few people. Love well, fruit well. Cool, cool. Whoa, everyone's back. Normally I'm like, fuck wrong am I? Listen, sit. But you're all very good this morning, so I'll give you a clap. Except for that punching brother. That was just terrible, man. It's concerning. Hey, so when we've been talking about this loving, learning to love God better, and that produces fruit naturally, heaps of little illustrations that Dave and I have been talking about. So if you remember, I said a few weeks ago, Rob came up to me after one of the talks and said, this totally makes sense, because you never see a tree trying to grow fruit, right? So hands up, who's ever walked past a fruit tree and heard it going, no, I don't know if you have, you need to go and see a doctor, because that wasn't the tree, right? You're very strange. You just don't see it, right? So we've got tomato plants. Who's got tomato plants at the moment? Everyone, you to be New Zealanders to grow tomato plants, I think. So tomato plants, and who has chickens that keep escaping and getting into the tomatoes? Anyone? Yeah, what's up with chickens and tomatoes? I just love them, man. So we have a chicken that I'm convinced is like Houdini. It always escapes the pen. And at the moment, we've got the tomatoes fenced off, and it's always sneaking in and eating them, and I'm chasing it out. And I'm a terrible builder. I think that's more what it is rather than the chicken sneaky. But the tomatoes are growing, and I never walk past and hear the tomatoes going, grow, 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 or anything, right? They just do what's natural, right? They grow their roots down. They draw up that moisture, they draw up that nutrition, nutrient stuff, and out pops tomatoes or plums or whatever the tree is. And that's this key thing that Paul's been saying in here. Christianity's not about trying to serve God harder. It's not about waking up in the morning and I've got it. That's not it at all. There's intentionality in our service. But what Paul keeps talking about is our number one thing, our core focus is I've got to be pushing into my relationship with God. I've got to be working on this, right? If the fruit's not happening, it's not because I'm not working hard enough on producing fruit. It's because I'm not working hard enough on digging into my relationship with Jesus. It makes sense, eh? makes sense. I think it makes sense, so all good. Okay, so let's look at the verses this morning. So we're going to read just a couple of verses from Philippians 4. So if you've got your Bible, jump over there, or a device, click over there. I'm a big believer that you read, you understand things better when you read it than just hear it. That's why, like, last week I got the communion piece from Quentin and put it on the screen, and I got Shona to have that on the screen this morning. I think we process better when we see it. At first glance, when I read these verses, you're going to go, whoa, Craig, you're out to lunch. This is totally not loving well and fruiting well. You're crazy. But as I unpack it, I think you'll go, oh, Craig, you're wiser than I thought, right? Feel free to come up afterwards and say that to me. That would encourage me. Craig, you're so wise. No, I'm joking. And let me read this. I love this little bit. And this, I'll explain in a minute. I'm very weird, and so this has been a really powerful bit to me this week. I love this. So it's just two verses, right? So Paul says, I'm reading from the New Living Translation. Paul says, and now, dear brothers and sisters, one final thing. Fix your thoughts on what is true. Turn to someone and say, fix your thoughts. Turn to someone and say, fix your thoughts. You're not turn and punch this guy. No, I'm joking. Fix your thoughts on what is true, honorable and right and pure and lovely and admirable. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise. Keep putting into practice all you learned and received. You see, there is an intentionality in the fruiting, right? It's not like you just lie around and wait for the fruit to pop. There's an intentionality in it, but the focus is always on digging into our relationship with God. Verse 9, keep putting into practice all you learn and receive from me. Everything you heard from me and saw me doing, then the God of peace will be with you. It's another one of those kind of if-then things I talked a few weeks ago about. There's a lot of if-thens in the Bible. If you do this, then God will do this, right? And you see it clearly here. If you think on things that are true and honorable and lovely and pure and admirable and good, if you think on that, then the God of peace will be with you. If you want to have peace in your life, you've got to be thinking about where is your mind going? What are you thinking on? Yeah. When Joseph and I lived in America for a whole pile of years, and we lived in Chicago for 4 years, which was just awesome. Loved living in Chicago. And we had this crazy friend called Tom, yeah? And Tom was one of those weird, I haven't met so many in New Zealand, but Americans are weird about sports statistics, yeah? And this guy Tom, am I right, Joe? Say he was a sports statistic freak. Like, I've never met anyone like him, like an encyclopedia of sports statistics. And because he was such, like, so amazing at it, we'd be walking around campus. We were on a university with a couple of thousand students. Students would come up to him to try and trick him, and they'd come up to him and they'd just say random questions like, who was the pitcher for the LA Dodgers in 1926? And he would literally just be like, Bob Johnson, and his batting average was this, and his blah, 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 blah. And they'd be like, okay, who won the Super Bowl in 1842? And he'd be like, there was no Super Bowl in 1842. Whatever, you know what I mean? Just amazing guy, like incredible stats, right? And he was a real good friend. I worked with him, and they lived in the same apartment as Joseph and I. And he came up to me one day, and one day I went and asked him, and I said, bro, you are one of the freakiest people I've ever met. Bro, what is it about you? How do you do this? Do you just have an amazing memory? And he said, yeah, I've got a really good memory. But he said, I work really hard at it because I love knowing sport. Not to impress people, we just love knowing sports stats. And so he said every day he'd spend two to three hours reading the newspaper every morning. And I was like, what a crazy man. And then he said, and I thought this was really crazy, he said, man, I wish I knew Jesus in my Bible as well as I know my sports stats. And I was a friend, so I didn't say anything too rude to him, but I thought, well, you read the Bible you read the newspaper for 2 to 3 hours a day. How much time are you really reading your Bible? And later on we had that chat, and he was reading his Bible, but nothing the same, right? So my point in saying it is Paul says you've got to fix your thoughts on this. You've got to think on this. Whatever I think on is going to come out in my life, yeah? Whatever I think on, whatever I focus my thoughts on is going to come out of my life. If I focus all my thoughts on stupid Netflix movies, and that's going to naturally come out because it's going to get into my head. It's going to come out in my life. If I fix my thoughts on loose woman during the day, that's going to come out in who I am, the way I live my life. If I fix my thoughts on recipes, on gardening, on whatever, it's going to come out in my life, right? And what Paul's saying here is we've got to really fix our thoughts on what is true, what is good, what is pure, and so on. I love that, eh? This is the kind of core of what I'm talking about this morning. What soil am I nourishing myself with, right? What soil am I nourishing myself with? And the crazy reality of being a human is that we're all being nourished with something, and it's up to us to decide where we're putting our roots down. Does it make sense, eh? So whether you like it or not, you're being nourished, but where are your roots going down? Are you spending time digging into the word like Paul's talking about here? Are you spending your time digging into what? What is that nourishment that you're drawing up that's going to be clearly in your soul that then is going to be coming out in your life? So for my crazy friend Tom, it was amazing sports statistics, maybe rather than Jesus. I was reading a whole bunch of commentaries and things this week, and I found this real interesting. He's thinking about that verse 8. The present verse is governed by the verb think, which means more than keep in mind. It's rather take into account, reflect upon, and then allow these things to shape your conduct. So let me read that last bit again. It's rather take into account, reflect upon, and then allow these things to shape your conduct. I love that, right? So Paul's not just saying, hey, just think about what's true when you've just got none to do. He's saying, chew on this, meditate on this, dig into this, right? So the classic illustration people always talk about when we talk about chewing on stuff and meditating on stuff is animals chewing their cud, right? So this is kind of disgusting, but bad luck. Any complaints, complain to Will. He's one of the elders, and he'd love to hear your complaints. So we have some sheep at home, right? And they are idiots, and they have no grass at the moment, and they are bleating their heads off, and they're very close to all ending up in the freezer, but we're trying to wait a little bit of time. And one of the funniest things is we have a few paddocks, just very small paddocks, but we've got no grass because of the drought, right? And so at the moment, I let the sheep out on the lawn, which is awesome, for a couple of hours a day, and they all are lining up at the gate, barring away. I don't know why they're dancing. They're not dancing. They're like standing there. And then you go down, they're just like, bah, 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 and you open it, and they're just like, woohoo, and they all run out and eat like crazy for 45 minutes to an hour or so, just passion fruit vine, trees, anything, tomato plants and other things. Anything they can get, they're just eating grass and stuff, whatever. There's not a lot of grass. But then after 45 minutes to an hour, they sit down under a tree, right? And they vomit up the grass they've been eating and they start chewing on their cud, right? Does it make sense? You with me, eh? Same thing as a cow, but sheep. I don't know how many stomachs sheep have, but they obviously have more than one, so... And they chew on it, chew on it. And you'll see them, they'll sit there for an hour, 2 hours sometimes, just chewing on that vomited up grass, which I'm like, awesome. And then they might get up and eat some more. And that's the same sense that this guy Martin is saying here. It's the same idea that Paul's wanting us to get into our heads. So let me read that verse a little bit again with that thinking in mind. And now, dear brothers and sisters, one final thing. Fix your thoughts on what is true, honourable, right, pure, lovely, admirable. He's not saying just whatever. When you got some time, none to do, he's saying, man, you've got to be intentional about this. This is something we've got to be serious about. How am I getting this book into me so that at times during the day I'm going, and this is kind of gross, but you know what I mean, I'm kind of going, and that thought comes back, oh yeah, that's right, I read that this morning, I need to chew on that today. So what am I doing to be real intentional about that? Because if we're not intentional about that, our roots will go down into other things. I'll get in the car, I'll turn the radio, and now that's feeding me. I'll go to work and I'll talk to someone about golf. Now that's feeding me, right? And that's not bad. We can't be weird and we're walking around and someone's like, morning, Craig. And you're like, no, I'm thinking on the Lord, brother. And they're like, what a psycho, right? But we've got to be intentional. That's what he's saying. I love that. You see the same thing in Romans 5. So I've got these verses on the screen. These are a little bit challenging. So if you're feeling nervous, just hold on to your seat a little bit, right? So you'll see Paul saying the same idea about our thoughts show who we are, right? Those who are dominated by the sinful nature think about sinful things. It's kind of a scary statement, right? but those who are controlled by the Holy Spirit think about things that please the Spirit. So letting your sinful nature control your mind leads to death. But letting the Spirit control your mind leads to life and peace. For the sinful nature is always hostile to God. It never did obey God's laws and it never will. That's why those who are still under the control of their sinful nature can never please God. I love that middle bit there. He says, so letting your sinful nature control your mind. I think Paul's talking to Christians here, but he's saying even as Christians, we can allow our sinful nature to take our thoughts to places that they should not go. But instead, next verse, but letting the Spirit control your mind leads to life and peace. And it's like, man, I want life. I want peace. How do I allow the Spirit to have more control in my life? And it's like, it's not rocket science. I need to be aware of where my roots are growing down, right? So I need to be thinking, like Paul says here, I need to be thinking on things that are good, that are pure, that are right, that are true, yeah? This is really big for me at the moment. I'm a bit of a I don't know. We can do a show of hands to make me feel less weird. Anyone else wake up in the night and you're just stressing about stuff, or is that just me? It's just me. There's a few of us. Okay, cool. We can hang out. We'll start a support group afterwards. Hug. No. There's a lot going on at church at the moment. There's a lot of big things kicking off and the youth group. And it's just, and I'm just like, whoa, my mum's getting sick. My mum's got cancer and she's just not doing so great at the moment. I've just been quite, whatever. I'm not freaking out during the day because I can process and plan and all that kind of stuff. But I find at night, I wake up at like 2 in the morning and I'm just like really stressed and I'm anxious and I'm worried and I'm like, And normally what I've done is I say the Lord's Prayer, and that calms me down almost every time. I might say it 20 times, but I just like, I want to be intentional about where my mind's going. If I lie there, I'm stressing and breaking out in a cold sweat and freaking out, and I'm not going to get back to sleep. And I'm like, that's not what I should be doing as someone who's indwelt by God. So I'll calm myself and say the Lord's Prayer, right, or quote verses. And honestly, every time, it brings peace. But this week, it was about Monday, I think. I woke up and I was freaking out about something. And then I was like, oh, I can do this verse. And so I was like, man, okay, so what I'm going to do tonight, I was like, I'm going to think on what is true and honorable. What is, I mess them up every time, sorry. Lovely, pure, admirable. And I was lying there going, I'm going to think on something that's true. And I was like, no, I got nothing. I don't know what that means. What does it mean to think on something that's true? It's like, it's 100 kilometers an hour on the road outside our house. I was like, I don't know how that helps me. Then I was like, I need to think of something that's pure. And I was like, water is pure. And I was getting real weird. And again, I'm not awake enough to be smart, but I'm awake enough to know I'm freaking out. You know what I mean? And then I went, duh, I know who. And it's not Jose, but she's close. I know who is true and honorable. I know who is lovely and pure and admirable. I know who that is. And I was like, duh, it's God, you doofus. And so I was lying there, and I was like, oh, this is way cooler than just randomly thinking about speed limits and things. I need to have my thoughts on God, man. And then it got really cool. And I was like, wow, what does it mean that God is true? What does it mean that God is honorable? What does it mean? And I ended up getting so excited about thinking about this, I ended up staying away for like an hour, but it was a good time. But the crazy part it did, and this is what Paul says right at the end, remember, then the God of peace will be with you. It totally brought peace. The anxiety went, and some of the things I was worried about were quite big. And I was like, wow, this is really cool. I found it really interesting to stop and not just be thinking about these kind of random topics, but take them and apply them to my relationship with God, to think about God in this way, right? And that's what we want to do. We want to have the Spirit controlling us more, like Paul says here. So we do this a lot with different parts of Scripture. So I just wanted to chuck a couple up so you kind of see what I mean. So 1 Corinthians 1:13. We all know this, right? Love is patient and kind. Love is not jealous or boastful, proud, blah, blah, blah. And it's real easy because God is love is to replace that with God, right? So we can say God is patient and kind. God is not jealous or boastful or proud or rude. God does not demand his own way. He is not irritable, and we can carry on. And the scary thing always with that is we should then be able to go and put our name in there if we're a Christian. Does that make sense? Which is really terrifying. It's cool to do it with God, but when it gets real personal, it's kind of like, no. So can I go? Craig is patient and kind. Craig is not jealous. It's like, whoa, but that's another whole sermon, so let's not go there. But it's interesting you can do that. So I'm saying, like, this has precedence, right? And another way that we do it a lot is with the fruit of the Spirit, right? So the fruit of the Spirit, Galatians 5, same thing. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, faithful, genuineness, goodness, self-control, something like that. I get them mixed up. But it's the same thing. It's like, it's not just the fruit of the Spirit coming out of me that's that. That also defines who God is. So I can say that God is love. You know what I mean? It's that same kind of thing. So I think I'm on good grounds when I come to these verses. And as I read them, and Paul says, you need to chew on this. You need to meditate on this. And I don't think that Paul's only saying this is God. I think it's good for us to be thinking on things that are true, things that are pure, things that are lovely. But for me personally, I've found it more helpful, more powerful in my life to be thinking about these in relationship to who God is. So that's kind of where my brain's gone a little bit this week. So this is what it looks like. Fix your thoughts, says the verse, on what is true and honorable, right and pure, lovely and admirable. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise. And then I can put that into be talking about God. Fix your thoughts on God, who is true and honorable and right and pure and lovely and admirable. think about God who is excellent and worthy of praise. So I'd encourage you to do it. It's an easy verse to either memorize or get the essence of in your mind, and then to start thinking, okay, how am I actually going to do this? How am I going to find time in my life? What am I going to do to be intentional? Remember, there's this real intentionality about this. To chew over this, to meditate on the truth of who God is, right? Again, we're always feeding, right? We're always growing down roots. But as Paul said here, as Paul said in Romans 5, it's up to us to take control of that. I want my roots to be growing down into God and drawing up nourishment from Him, not weird, random, goodness knows what stuff, yeah? Does that make sense, eh? Okay. A couple of quotes from Craig Rochelle. Who knows Craig Rochelle? You know him. He's a pastor over in America. Just a couple of quotes from him about thinking. I thought it was good. Here's the first one. It's kind of obvious. Most of life's battles are won or lost in the mind. I was like, wow, that's really true, right? We always make decisions before we do something. And I want to make sure that the battle, we're all in a battle, right? I want to make sure that the battle that I'm in is going to be coming from a place of strength and power because I'm indwelt by the Spirit, and the Spirit is controlling my thoughts. Remember Romans 5? How do I do that? I need to have my thoughts being focused on God and what is true, what is pure, what is... It's cool. Here's another one. This is a bit of a full-on one. Our thoughts are either focused on what is eternal, life-changing and true, or lost in the details of our temporary, selfish, false beliefs. I'll read that again because it's pretty bit challenging, right? Our thoughts are either focused on what's eternal, life-changing and true, or lost in the details of our temporary, selfish, false beliefs. So what he's saying is really our thoughts go in one of two ways. I think there's maybe some gray area in the middle where you're just thinking about chickens and that's not good or evil, but he's saying in big picture thoughts, right, big stuff that we think about, we're either thinking about eternal, life-changing, true, we're thinking about things of God and our relationship with God, or we default to who we are and we just start thinking about selfish stuff. It's all about me. I need a new this. I need a new that. It's all about me, and I get very focused and selfish. I love that, eh? And again, I want to be intentional, right? What I think about always defines me, yeah? What I think about always defines me. What I think about, what I focus on is always going to come out in my life, right? Always. So I want to be thinking about the things of God and focusing on the things of God, right? It's not kind of rocket science. Here's that verse again that Dave and I brought it up, I think, almost every time we preach through this Colossians series. I just love this verse. Colossians 2, 6 and 7. And now, just as you accepted Christ Jesus as your Lord, you must continue to follow Him. See, there's always intentionality, right? Let your roots grow down into Him. Let your lives be built on Him. Then your faith will grow strong in the truth you were taught, and you'll overflow with thankfulness. I love this verse. I don't know if I've said this little story before, but I was reading an article about roots a while ago. Anyone read articles about roots lately? Yeah, just randomly. Of course Dave has. Why not? You're so strange. I love you, bro. So I was just randomly reading this article about roots growing, and I thought roots just grew, right? But this was scientists with giant, like, all those letters after their name that went forever. And they were talking about how they've been doing studying roots with, like, microscopes, at a real tiny, tiny level. And they've found that roots, when they grow, they actually pulse. Anyone know this? Yeah? Anyone? I thought this was bizarre. I'm like, one, I was like, who does that? Imagine, what do you do for a job? I'm staring through a microscope at roots. I was like, wow, thanks. Anyway, I'm sure we need it for agriculture and life. And so they said they've been watching these roots, and they found that the roots pulse quite slowly, but they pulse in threes, and then there'll be a growth. Growth. And the growth is microscopic, right? And they said they found out that this, like, honestly, what happens is as the roots pulse, they're literally tasting the soil. So it's literally sampling the soil. And so if it's pulsing here, it'll do its three pulses tasting it. And then it goes, nah, that's rubbish. And it pulses over here and goes, yeah, baby, nutrients, moisture, grow. Well, yeah, you know, whatever. I don't know how plants talk. Strange. I'm getting all goosebumply because every time I think of that story, I'm like, man, come on, Craig. I need to be better at my pulsing. Does it make sense? Sometimes I'm a little bit unintentional in my pulsing, and I'm just pulsing everywhere and drawing up nutrients and reading and looking at things and listening. And I love how plants are smarter than me, right? Not you guys, you're amazing. Plants are smarter than me, where they pulse and they're like, no, this is gravel and rubbish. it's no point in growing roots here, but oh, over here is good, and this is good. I need to grow roots from here. I keep thinking about Dave's tree. So Dave preached, I think it was last Sunday, and he talked about how he planted different trees at his house, right? And he said some of the trees have just grown like crazy, and sound effects added by me, not Dave, fruit popping out everywhere because it's got good soil, but he planted some other trees on gravel. Why would you plant trees on gravel? I've thought about it all week, and I'm like, Dave, you should have dug the hole and been like, there's gravel, don't plant the tree. Anyway, plant the trees on gravel, and they're doing real lame, right? And it's like, that's just like us, right? You're here because you want to grow in your relationship with Jesus. You want to experience the presence of Almighty God and you guiding you and talking to you. And I love how Paul says it. He's like, it's not rocket science. You need to let your roots grow down to what is good, right? What is true, what's honorable, which I would define, that's God, right? We've got to be growing our roots down into God. I love that, eh? Okay, let's all stand, eh? Etu, let's stand up. I've just got one more kind of quote thing here. I just want you to pause for a second, eh, while you're standing and just think, okay. Because I think as Christians, we are the masters of coming to church or going to a life group and being like, yeah, I need to think about that. And then we go out and we don't because life happens and we have lunch and I got sheep that are hungry and, you know, tomatoes being stolen by chickens and it's like, oh, what's happening? So I thought, let's just pause now, right? Let's just pause now and have a bit of a think. So for you, how are your roots doing, right? That was what I kind of called this thing. What soil are your roots growing down into? So just pause for a second. Is the Holy Spirit right now saying to you, yeah, there's some soil your roots are growing into that's not good. You need to make some changes because that nutrient you're drawing up is messing with your soul. It's disabling your connection with Almighty God. So is there any roots, any areas of nutrition for you that you're like, yeah, I love it. It's awesome. It's not good for me, yeah? I need to make some changes. And then the other side is there some roots that are just not really growing? And you're like, okay, hang on. I've got to get better nutrients happening here. I need to be more intentional, like Paul said. I've got to think on, chew on the truth of who God is and his love for me and his, you know. And then how are you going to do that? Don't just come in and now and think, yeah, I've got to do that and not do it. When would that work for you? Do you need to get up a little bit earlier? Do you need to, at lunchtime, at uni, at work, at whatever, do you need to just sneak somewhere and spend some time with Jesus? Do you need to stop on your way home? I don't know. What would be something you can pull into your week that's intentional about chewing on the things of God so your roots are drawing up that nourishment, eh? Yeah. Here's my last little quote. I couldn't do a sermon without a C.S. Lewis quote because it would just not be anointed by God. So, I love this. You can't go back and change the beginning, but you can start where you are and change the ending. And I was like, man, that's cool. I love that little quote, eh? Heaps of us have made mistakes, man. I've got boxes of them, man. But I can make a decision now and go, okay. I want to change the ending. I want to change my trajectory. I want to change where I'm heading by being intentional. Okay, let me pray. Let me come up, bro. Let me pray. You, Almighty God, thanks for speaking to us, eh? Thanks for, I don't know, despite my weird tomato and chicken stories, thanks that the truth of who you are, I pray, has come through this morning. I pray if there's anything I've said that was wrong, that I've misrepresented you, I pray you'd just help that to drift from our memories. But anything that we've read in the Word, from these cool verses, anything that's come from you, I pray that sinks deep into our souls. I pray that gives your Spirit this week something really good to hang on, something really good for him to remind us of, to bring us back to God. Yeah. Man, we're honestly desperate to have more of you in our lives. We know when we run it, it turns to custard and everything's a mess, eh? Help us to be a little more intentional about stopping those roots that are growing into the bad and cultivating those roots that are growing into the good. Help us to be intentional about thinking, chewing on things that are true and honorable, admirable, right, pure. Yeah. We want that kind of nutrition in our lives, God. Yeah, I pray this in the name of Jesus, who loves us more than we'll ever understand. Amen.